Welcome to Let's Talk Land, a weekly land education talk show devoted to learning about land and farms, buying and selling, and ownership, especially for real estate agents and realtors. Learn from the experts. Free land education. Hi, my name's Lou Jewell. I'm an accredited land consultant with Yonah Country Real Estate, Sutton Properties, our new company name, along with my co-host, Teresa Martin, who's one of our agents. Hey, Teresa, good morning.
Hi, Lou.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. I hope you are.
Well, I'm trying to get there, but it's been a great day so far. Buying and selling homes, land and farms, or want to auction your property in Western Piedmont, North Carolina, or Southern Virginia, just give us a shout. We'll help you out. Hey, our new office is at 102 East Main Street next to BB&T Bank in downtown Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Please make a note of our changes. Our new company website is www.allsuttonproperties.com. That's A-L-L-S-U-T-T-O-N properties.com. This show is dedicated to the Realtors Land Institute and all of its members and staff. Our sponsor is landhub.com. View thousands of properties for sale at landhub.com. We're real pleased to have them. A program note, Dr. Barbie's Ask the Doctor show will now follow this show and will air at 10 a.m. So after this show, keep the radio on. Dr. Barbie's always got something of interest, so make sure you stay tuned. Hey, our guest today is Jonathan Good. Jonathan, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me on today.
Where are you calling from?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham, Alabama. What a great place that is. I love your state.
Sweet home, Alabama.
That's it. We can sing it if you want.
Teresa, no singing. This is...
We're in a radio station.
I know, but we play beat music and oldies, happy music.
Hey, Sweet Home, Alabama is an oldie.
It is happy. Jonathan's an accredited land consultant like myself, the Realtors Land Institute. We're part of the National Association of Realtors. We're the specialty group for land, and of the 1.4 million realtors out there around the country, we have a whopping 1,300 plus members. But our accredited land consulting designation program requires 6 classes, 10 million in sales, and a lot of other stuff. It's a pretty hard designation to get, and there's roughly, Jonathan, I think there's a little over 500 of us in there now.
I think that's about right.
Yeah. You're with the Southern Land Group, and I want you to talk about your real estate firm as we go in the show. But what we wanted to talk today about is your land show, and that's what it's called. Your co-host, who's your other host?
Dave Milken.
And so the two of you guys started this. I believe you've done like 240 shows so far.
Yeah, that's about right.
Good for you. You're number 110, so we're behind you. But you guys have done a tremendous job, and I just wanted to let our listening audience know about you. What people don't realize is when we go to real estate school, Jonathan, there's no land education. There's no commercial education. There's no property management. There's no international. These are all specialties. Once you get your license, you get involved with CCIM for commercial or IRM or SLR, all these little alphabets we call them, and take their requirements and add that to your business card. So we are the land people. We have 10 two-day, one's a two-and-a-half-day course on subdivisions, on GIS, on transitional land, different ones, forestry, agriculture, recreational lands, the new one, right, Jonathan? I want to take that when I had the instructor on. That's a great, great course I'm looking forward to. And I have the honor of being one of our instructors. I've been teaching since 2003 when the Land 101 class came out all over the country. I'd love to come down there and teach a class for one of your chapters. I was in the Oklahoma chapter last November. We had a heck of a time down there. Had a great group and good course. So consider me. I'd love to come down.
Okay, will do.
So I'm just going, this is on your website, if you don't mind, for your introduction, Jonathan. Is a passionate about helping people buying and selling land. He's an associate broker with the Southeastern Land Group, LLC. And SELG, what does that stand for?
Southeastern Land Group.
Okay. So, and is the responsible broker for the company in Mississippi. Jonathan's accredited land consultant that we've acknowledged, working with the Southeastern Land Group, Alabama Land Company, since 2008. When did you get your ALC, Jonathan?
I think end of 14 or sometime in 2015.
Yeah, I was there. I remember. I just couldn't remember the date. I got mine in 2004. It took me took me 5 years to get it, which is not well. It's not that unusual. It's a hard designation. You're also past president of the Alabama RLI chapter. Now we have about 18 chapters that's part of the Realtors Land Institute. I've been involved with our Carolinas chapter since 1998, and have served as president twice, and has remained secretary and treasurer all the years. I'm the oldest and longest serving board member. They're gonna get rid of me one of these days. And of course, you're the co-host of your weekly talk show program, The Land Show. Jonathan currently serves as board of trustees for the Alabama Center for Real Estate, representing the land industry across the state. And you were named the 2018 Alabama Land Realtor of the Year. Good job, buddy.
Oh, thank you.
Jonathan serves both institutional and private landowners, and his experience with the 1031, and I'd like doing them too, self-direct IRA purchases, and that's something that you've we're going to talk about here too. You've started something to promote that, and actually I had a guest, and we that was the topic of the show. Love to see more people roll their IRA money into the self-direct, and then with that they can invest in real estate. Timberland investments, you guys are big timber area down there, agricultural land as well, and of course recreational properties and premier properties featuring such as the Rivers and High Fence and the National Forest, estate transitions, conflict resolution, and relationship management. Boy, we get to get into that, don't we, sometimes?
All the time.
I love it when you go list something that's 48 heirs to the property. It's fun getting all the signatures and negotiating. As one of the SLG's top producers, he's helped his clients close scores of real estate deals. As a result, knows how to find ways to buy buyers and sellers, negotiate a win-win deal. Jonathan, you got a great reputation out there. The people in your market area, we're going to make sure they know about you and your firm.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
John loves helping people. My son's Jonathan. I call him John, so if I do that, forgive me. Jonathan loves helping people buy and sell rural land. He credits the deep love of real estate to two things: the good people he meets who are buying and selling land, and the quality team of agents that work with South Lutheran's Land. You guys got a heck of a group. Definitely go to his website. He believes in truly a gift from God to wake up every day and do what you love with a team of people you really like. Teresa, that sounds like us, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Jonathan specializes in marketing rural properties online and has contributed to Terra Firma magazine. Now, that magazine is produced by the Realtors Land Institute quarterly. And now RLI has a blog and our website, Jonathan, if I may, is www.rliland.com. Real Think Rural and Land Think. With Rory Fulp, writing articles focused on helping people buying and selling rural land. You guys have done a great job. You've actually got a book we're going to talk about, like a primer for people that's interested in investing in land. So give old Jonathan a call if you got any interest in the Alabama or Mississippi area. You're a graduate of West Alabama studying environmental science and chemistry. His family lives near Marion in Perry County, Alabama, where he enjoys living simple country life in a small town like ours, Teresa. Jonathan is married to Whitney and has three children, John, David, Laura Beth, and Oma. The family attends Marion Presbyterian Church. So that's your introduction, Jonathan. What do you think?
Well, thank you. I think you covered all the bases. That's the wrap for the show today.
Does that sound like you?
Well, on paper, yeah.
Okay. On paper. I'm sure there's a whole lot more better stuff, too. Hey, let's talk about your land show. You and Dave Milton, you've got investors for over 20 years. And, of course, we're all passionate about property educating people because, like I said, other than the Realtors Land Institute, I mean, I created a four-hour seat. We have to have 8 hours, Jonathan, in North Carolina to keep our license active, and there's 111,000 of us in North Carolina with about 60-some thousand active agents. But we have to have 4 hours required, 4 hours elective. So there's over 300 elective, and 99% of them deal with houses. I created one for land, Introduction to Land Brokers, for about 4 or 5 years ago. Jonathan, you know I'm the only land instructor with the only land CE class in the state of North Carolina.
Wow.
And I'm finding out, does Mississippi or Alabama, if you wanted to take a CE credit course other than RLI, does any of those two states offer land as a CE credit?
Fletcher Majors, who's a famous land broker in Alabama, Fletcher developed a course a few years ago. and offers it to agents in Alabama.
Right. So it's Fletcher and myself and nobody else that I can find, which is crazy. But that's why our show and your show, this is important. That's why, you know, we call it free land education. And you guys cover something a little more different than we do. You're hitting more of the conservation easements, and you can talk about it. I don't want to talk about your show that much because you know it. But we're getting more of the ALCs and the instructors and, you know, the websites and the magazines, publications. So we're approaching land education, but we've got two different orientations, I think. You agree with that? All right. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say our show is focused a little bit more on things that are happening specifically in Alabama generally, and so we try to cover topics that are of interest like timberland and farming and recreation, those sorts of things.
But that's really applicable around the country. You know, that's you know, you may have specific timberland in your area there, but timberland's timberland. You know, around the country, some areas don't really have it out west and stuff. But, you know.
But I'm not sure, Lou, I'm not sure people from other parts of the country can understand what I'm saying with this Alabama accent. So I do want to apologize to your listeners.
It's not any worse than this North Carolina accent.
Sure enough. Y'all come back now you're here. We're right there with you.
You know, the thing that Lou just said, timberland is timberland. But really, is timberland timberland? I mean, isn't it different types of timberland?
All timberland markets are local, so it really kind of depends on what's happening in your local market.
But I think what she's referring to is, you know, we have the pines and the softwoods,
right.
But we also have the hardwood forest here. In fact,
right.
North Carolina has probably more species of timber than many places in the world. So, you know, I think that's where you're coming from, right, Teresa?
Well, that's part of it. But the other thing I'm wondering is when you look at land, does it have to be large trees to be considered to be timberland?
No, you got sawlog, you got chipwood, you know, for chipboards, the small Virginia pines we have here, the squirrely pines, you know, that are 4 inches in diameter.
Those Virginia pines are good for something.
Yeah, making wallboard and stuff.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do it over in Elkin. That's where it goes.
So if somebody comes out to timber your land, do they only get the hardwoods, or do they get it all and they take it to different people?
There's different processes. You got clear cut, where you cut everything. And the wood sorted, the poplar from the hardwoods, from the oaks, from the other species, the pines. And yes, they go to different mills because some mills do the pine and some mills do the hardwood.
Okay.
And some do the chipwood. So remember, when we've had timber on a while, you need about 18 loads. To have a good, you know, the bigger timber buyers buy. And other people still come in and do the acre, the 2 acres, those are the small jobbers. But for your commercial, you know, you're looking for, at least in this area, Jonathan, I don't know about you guys, but they talk about 18 truckloads.
Yeah.
They do it generally by acres, so about 40 acres is the minimum that a timber company will want to cut in our
right.
area.
Probably pretty similar here. So tell us more about the land show. What's been some of the guests you've had and some of the topics that you've enjoyed?
Well, we're a weekly show that started in 2015. Our company was Ala Land Co. We were the Alabama Land Company, and then we changed in 2015 to Southeastern Land Group to serve the states that touch Alabama. And so we started the land show as a way to get the word out about who we are and what we're doing. And I would have never guessed it would still be going 5 years later, but we're coming up on that. But it's been a lot of fun. We cover topics that involve all the heads of the state, the departments in the state of conservation and farming and agriculture and industries, all those things, all the way to professors to some of my favorite interviews are local farmers. I love hearing stories at the farm level. So we try to cover everything from a 50,000-foot view to ground-level view.
Yeah, you also get into the hunting and fishing, the outdoor market, too. You had some incredible guests. I've listened to several of those and learned a lot. Hey, our guests.
We're blessed with a good team of agents that are subject experts on a wide range of things, and so we get good updates every week from hunting, fishing, farming, timberland, all those sorts of things.
Yes, you do. Hey, our guest today is Jonathan Good. And this is Let's Talk Land. So tell us more about the land show, John.
Well, it's been a good run. Like I said, we started in 2015, and what we find is that land, probably like in your markets, is a very popular topic. People want to know about it. There aren't that many shows in the markets that we serve that, well, really there aren't any radio shows that really focus on all the different topics of land. There's some great outdoor shows. But it's a fun thing. We get a lot of people that I'll pass on the street that say they've heard our show. They'll ask specific questions, and it has our audience has steadily grown over the last 5 years. We're on 7 radio stations across Alabama every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And then our podcast, we're finally in the thousands of downloads. We were in the singles and dozens for a long time, and
I understand.
Now we're finally in the thousands of downloads. So it's been a good thing to be able to get the message out about people investing in land.
Sure. Do you get many realtors that follow you?
We do. A lot of our competitors. We have way more competitors that listen to our show than we do guys on our own team that listen to it.
Isn't that funny?
So that's pretty funny.
Wow. Teresa, you got something?
No, I was just thinking.
Did you fall asleep or something?
No.
Wake up.
I'm awake.
I know.
No, I was wondering, you said you are interviewing farmers, so are you guys talking about local agricultural issues and challenges?
Yeah, we are. So last week we had the head of the Alabama Cattlemen's Association on to talk about the huge disparity in price from the farm level, what cattle growers are seeing, as opposed to the $7.99 that we're paying in the grocery store for ground beef. And the farmers are selling meat for $1.75 a pound, and it's showing up on the shelves for 4 times that. And we talked about those kinds of topics, and then a lot of fruit and vegetable growers. That's kind of my history. That's how I got into land. Is I grew up helping a local farm family on a peach farm and picked a lot of produce. I hate tomatoes because we picked so many of them, and always grew up with a passion for wanting to help people that are farmers and landowners to get more for their money, essentially to get a better value for what they're doing. And so this comes from being a land broker, comes from a place in me of growing up on a farm and seeing how hard farmers have to work, and that's really, it's been a big blessing taking that into the land brokerage career.
Yeah. My mother's family, my great-grandfather and grandfather, between 1909 and 1929, bought 18 farms, non-contiguous, but all in the immediate area.
And oh, wow.
With 10 children, mother was the oldest, born in 1911. And I'm 70, soon to be 71, so time moves on. But,
okay.
Jonathan, you won't believe this. We're almost 5 generations, and not 1 inch of it has ever been sold to anyone outside the family.
Wow.
And we're tobaccos. Wow. Corn, soy, and used to have a dairy farm that granddaddy started, and the uncle took it over, and they died, and the grandchildren said, to heck with this. Now they got 12 chicken houses, so I don't know if chicken is more labor or milking. Well, we had over 500 cows, so that's pretty decent operation. But, and, the county years
ago. Orchard farming is the new dairy farming. Dairy farms, those cows have to be milked twice a day, every day.
Oh,
poultry farms, those farmers don't get to leave for more than a couple of hours, then they've got to be back to tend to those flocks. So that's a hard road to hoe as well.
It's a labor of love. Back when granddaddy was, when I was growing up back in the 50s and 60s, there was like 82 dairies in our county. And when the kids sold out, and it took them 6 months to liquidate that herd. Half of them went to Michigan, the other half went to Florida. It took 6 months to sell 500 head of dairy cows. But this was several years ago. But there's 1 dairy left in the county now. So,
that's a tough business to be in for sure.
Is there a lot of dairy in Alabama?
Not anymore. Mm. Before I got involved with land brokers, I worked for the only cheese manufacturer in the state of Alabama, and I sold cheese to Wisconsin, which
there you go.
Alabama to Wisconsin.
Wow.
They repackaged it.
Alabama.
They took the Alabama label off and stamped that Wisconsin on there.
Well, we made 500-pound barrels of cheddar cheese, and so we sold it to Wisconsin, and they melted it down and made their final products. But that was my introduction to the dairy industry and how hard it is. And my heart really goes out to all these dairy farmers around the country that have had to dump milk this year. There's nothing more deflating and demoralizing than having to milk those cows and then turn them right around and open the valve on that tank and dump the milk on the cow.
I don't understand that. Why are they having to do that?
Supply and demand.
Well, we've had tons of demand. So, what's the issue?
We have more demand. We get more supply. We had demand.
How do we have more supply?
Well, and the kids, those school milks that they were using for the school lunches.
Oh.
When the kids aren't in, there's no demand for that, and all these processing plants are set up to package cheese and stuff for food service. So 10-pound bags, 5-pound bags, things that consumers can't readily use. You're not going to go to the store and buy a 5-pound bag of cheddar. You couldn't afford it, and you don't have a place to keep it. So a lot of that milk got dumped.
See, there's your answer.
I love cheddar. I could eat 5 pounds.
Well, maybe Jonathan will send you 5 pounds. you can text him your address.
I'm not in business anymore, thankfully. I'm just using the land, but it's something admirable in the dairy farming for sure.
I have milk cows. I know what that's about.
You do?
You have Holsteins?
Yes.
You keep them in your garage?
They were my family's.
Oh.
And they were Jerseys, and they...
You don't have them now.
No, that was years ago. That was when I was a teenager. I was young, but we would have to go out and get the cows and bring them in, and they would bring them into the milking...
The harnesses, yeah.
In that big place, and wash them all down, and pull them in, and milk them, and send them back out to the pasture.
Hey, John,
a long time ago.
Are any of the farmers talking about any of the government assistance programs that's out there? Are they getting it? Is it helping? I haven't heard much about that. Have you?
Well, particularly the lady, Erin Beasley, with the Alabama Cattlemen's Association last week was saying that those payments from the USDA should be coming online to the farmers within the next 3 to 4 weeks, she thinks.
Okay.
But as far as farmers receiving it, I think what the Alabama producers have run into is there's some guidelines that are going to make it really hard for some of them to qualify to receive that assistance. And,
so the big guys get it, and the little guys suffer.
Would prefer to just be able to sell their product in a open and free market as opposed to having to be bailed out by the government. And a lot of folks look at farmers and say, well, look at all the government assistance that they get. Well, there are only 2% of people in America that are supplying the other 98% of us with food, and I think we definitely want those farmers to be well cared for and stable so that they
Absolutely.
Can provide the food for the rest of it.
So what was his response? Because we are paying. I've been noticing my grocery bill has been running quite a bit more. Meats are a whole lot. They're a whole lot higher. What did he have to say about that?
I'm not an industry analyst, but what I know just from talking to local producers is there are 4 main meat packers in America. There are a lot of farmers, and then there are a lot of people that are feedlots that will finish them off, but there are 4 main meat packers, and there are some talks of investigating what is this price disparity. And so I know that those are things that have been addressed on a high government level, and a lot of local farmers are saying, why aren't we getting paid those on-the-shelf prices?
Right. That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah, I was just looking at something that I pulled off your guest, Russ Walters, I believe it was. Robert King, let's see. Fifth-generation cattle farmer, and Russ Walters were extensive in variety farming expertise each week on the show, The Farm Report. Alabama farmers and landowners needed to show a show like this. Most states in the Midwest have crop reports and farm reports, pricing updates. We really didn't have that kind of information and insight available in our state to the show. So they wanted to deliver a great, consistent resource to cattle, row crops, poultry farmers to learn what's going on. So that's a service you guys are providing, and thank you for doing that.
Thank you. We try to just help people understand what is happening. The agriculture is one of the biggest industries in the state of Alabama, and that includes farming and timberland. So we want to make sure that our citizens around the state understand how important those markets are and what's happening in those markets on a week-in, week-out basis.
I've heard that timber price is down. Is that true? Do you know?
You say timber prices are down?
That's what I had heard someone say. I didn't know if it was true or not.
Yeah, pine prices are down. Again, it really depends on the local market. In the summer in Alabama, pine prices generally go down anyway because the ground is dry and loggers can get into a lot more areas. In the wintertime, when the ground is wet, generally you can only log upland areas or areas that are well-drained or close to paved roads. So right now is our typical lowest time of the year for timber prices in Alabama.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They're low here. They hit a high last year. Not a record high, but pretty close to it. Most species. Pine never recovered fully. But talking to John Shipley, my forester who's been on our show several times, but you know, it's good, but it's a whole lot better than it was a couple of years ago. But it has come down. So you guys had John George Mann on, experienced wildlife management expert, and Brandon Harris. And they accomplish big and small game hunting, wildlife management. They also share great ways to have great time on your land each week with recreational property and wildlife management update. Mann describes the segment, we're approaching our weekly report, the way we approach managing our land, the 12 district monthly land management strategies we share, how to get your property ready for the next hunting season, and even giving great recreational ideas for the whole family can enjoy. Harris continues, we're going to give landowners the knowledge to grow and to take the big deer, the big turkeys, and the big bass. So these are the type shows you guys have, and we're going to make sure people know about you and can get in touch with you because we want to help you support what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
So what was the decision to start the land show?
We changed our company name and tried to take on a more regional focus.
Okay.
People knew our Ala Land Co. name, but they didn't know who Southeastern Land Group was. It's all the same people. We just changed our name so we could branch out into other states.
Good for you. Do you get many people that request specific shows, or you just kind of put it out there like we do?
Well, we do get people that call in. They have or email in. We take listener questions, and we'll answer those on the show. And then also now, because we've been doing it for several years, when one of the departments in the state has a new initiative that they want to roll out, they'll contact us.
Good.
Like our cooperative extension system a few weeks ago is rolling out a new program based out of this COVID-19 crisis, and it's called Grow More, Give More. And this was a program to help more people learn how to grow produce, have a garden, or grow things in a raised bed or in pots on their land to provide more food for themselves. So that's the Grow More component. And then people that are growing enough to give away, that they could give away to those who are in need. So we've had a show long enough now that people, when they have new programs that they want to roll out, they'll contact us, and we get the opportunity to spread those good words among our listeners around the state.
Yeah. One of the things that I picked up was you've got a new program called Safer on Your Acres. Tell us about that and how that got started and what the purpose, where you want to go with that.
Yeah, so I just rolled this out. This is something I just started about 3 days ago called Safer on Your Acres. And I had this concept during the COVID-19 weeks when people were in quarantine, and I saw a commercial on TV that said, we all know that we're safer inside. And I don't remember who the product was, but that just...
That's not true.
There was something up inside of me that made me upset. And I believe that people are safer outside on their own acreage, you know, socially distancing, those sorts of things responsibly. But heck, hunting and fishing and being out in the timber or in the garden, all those things are much safer in a whole lot of ways, economically, mental health-wise, physically. And so I'm going to start this campaign. That was before the civil unrest started around the country. That wasn't the aim of what I was going for, but that has happened, unfolded in the meantime of rolling out the Safer on Your Acres campaign.
Now, is this going to be part of your show curriculum, or is this separate?
This is just something that I think I'm getting a huge demand for small acres tracts, 20 to 100 acre tracts, and going to try to provide resources to people who want to take advantage of owning some smaller land, and they understand this concept of you're safer on your acres.
Wow. Good for you. Very timely.
It blows my mind that he said small tracts like 20 to 100 acres. That's all we have around here. I'm moving.
Well, look at my family generation and breaking it down and breaking it down and breaking it down.
Nobody sells their land around here. They
because it's all families, like my mother's family, and it's been in, and they've subdivided it in wills and so on. And, you know, the 5, 10, and 20-acre tracts are our bread and butter. You know, you take a – and our land prices are $3,000 to $5,000, say, on a 10- or 20-acre tract. Okay. So now you go put $200,000 in land, you're going to build a $200,000 home. That's a $400,000 mortgage. I mean, they ain't a whole lot of people running around that can make that $2,000 and $3,000 mortgage payment every month.
Not in Pilot Mountain.
Well, not in the rural areas, one thing we're seeing, maybe you can help out. We're getting a lot more calls for people that are in these urban areas: Winston-Salem, Greensboro, Raleigh, Charlotte, Virginia, some of the bigger towns, and even up north and out west. I work for a company. I've been with them for, 10 years, 15 years. And I, drive 10 miles to work. And I bought a condominium. It's a high rise with no balcony and an elevator. And Rodney, this is Jonathan Goad. This is Let's Talk Land. So are you seeing people, the scenario I was talking about, the person bought a condominium, maybe high-rise elevator, no balcony. They've been in jail for 2 months, 3 months now. And the company says work at home. I saw that American Express a couple weeks ago made a statement that they were going to keep 80% of their employees at home for now. So, what we're hearing is, I want to get the heck out of town. I'm tired of this. I want some land. I want to bring my guns. And what did the guy ask you the other day, Teresa?
He said, I need some clarity. Am I supposed to wear a mask or carry a gun?
Both. Bring a grenade, too. But are you guys in your firm, are you starting to see some of that, too?
Oh, sure. Yeah. The whole time that everything's been shut down with COVID, people have been very interested in having small acreage. And I tell you, I really do believe this telecommuting to work is here to stay. I think that there will be less time spent in actual offices. All the employees that I talk to in the public and private sector say they're more focused, that they're more productive at home. And I really think that companies are going to see that, and they're going to make that change. I really do believe that's here to stay, assuming that high-speed internet makes its way to more rural communities.
Right. And that's coming along. I know in our area they've been running for a couple of years out. And you got it down your road yet, Teresa?
Yep.
Yeah,
we are fiber optic.
Yeah, she's out in the
And if I have fiber optic, everybody does.
Well, this one guy doesn't have it.
I wonder where he is.
It's down at the end of a long dirt road.
All we need is a phone tower out our way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. But, our land sales, our first quarter was the largest that we've had. And, what's carried us for the last at least year, a little over a year now, is homes. We can't keep inventory. We put up a real estate sign, and you had one $300,000 and been on the market, 6 months or longer?
2 years.
2 years. Been on the market for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Teresa's got that magic touch.
And I had it 1 week.
Yeah, you had it 1 week.
Yay.
Why'd you keep it so long? But we're seeing that with land now. I mean, you always have some old inventory. I mean, it's not unusual to have a land listing 4, 5, 6 years. I mean, it's just what it is, And even that stuff's selling. So we're just having a hard time keeping listings.
I'm having a hard time finding them.
Yeah, that's a great problem to have.
Are you guys experiencing something similar?
The only superpower that I have is I can list land. So that's the only thing that I'm really
No, I understand.
And so I've been blessed with a lot of good clients to serve them. And the best way to get new listings is to sell the ones you've got. So that's, we've been real fortunate with that here in Alabama.
So the Southeastern Land Group, you're going to be doing some the safer acres, your acres, over the next couple of weeks. So we want to make sure people get in touch with you. Your information is always it's already on there now, but coming soon. But I don't put out phone numbers, but I put out your email and your website. So you can give your phone number later if you want to. But we definitely want to make sure.
Yeah, we'll make sure your listeners get that.
Yeah, and I guess we're inaugurating your show. We're the first ones to promote your new show here. So,
I appreciate that. I think it comes from a place, not trying to scare anybody, but I do think it's just a response to what we're hearing. People want to invest in small acres. They want to raise their family out on land. That's what my wife and I, we do. We live on about 70 acres, and we have a big garden, and I hunt on our place. And so it's not something that we just talk about or pretend that we do. It's how we live our lives.
Right. Do you guys homeschool?
Well, our youngest, my oldest two, are in high school, but there's a small little school in our town.
Right. Back to your show, here's some of the reasons that you're telling people to purchase rural land. And by the way, you know, at our RLI conference, which we were supposed to have in San Antonio, Texas, back in March, we had the virtual show. And boy, I tell you, I was so impressed with our staff and the way they put that two-day conference together.
Yeah.
I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but, you know, we're the best of the best. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, one of the things that we've been focused on is recreational land. That in the last couple of years, is hotter than a Snickers. In fact, I mentioned earlier in the show, RLI, we actually created a course, two-day course on recreational land. We had the instructor on a couple of months ago. And, you know, I mean, this is what we live and do, and I have for almost 30 years. Is the rural land. I mean, it's just what we do in our market area. But some of the things you want to talk about that you've indicated is peace and privacy away from other people. What do you think about that, Teresa?
I love it. That's where I live.
That's where you live. I mean, the quality of life when you get out in the country, I haven't locked my house. I've been here 30-some years.
Yeah, well, we do have a new neighbor that just moved in from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I nearly ran over him this morning.
He doesn't know how to walk down a rural street.
He was on his four-wheeler.
Well, some people say that good fences make good neighbors, but I really believe that good forests make good neighbors.
Absolutely.
I have a whole stand of trees in between me and the next person.
And a lot of acreage.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you've got room to grow and hunt for your own food. Land is also a stable investment. It's, if I go back to the last tract that my grandfather bought back in 1929 on the deed, it's 300 acres. It's wooded on two sides of a state road, and it borders one of our smaller rivers, the Fisher River. And he paid $3,500 for it, Jonathan, about $11.70,
wow.
If you round it up, 77, 78 cents an acre. The timber has been cut twice. You know, hardwoods in our market is usually, it's about an 80-year cycle. Usually it's cut, you know, every twice in 60 years, but, you know, the timber's been cut on it twice. And we have these deferment programs where they lower the value of the land and then they put it in deferment taxes. And we have it for timber, 20 acres or more, for pasture land, 10 acres or more, and for cultivated land, 5 acres or more. And you'll qualify on the last two as long as you produce $1,000 of some type of income, whether it be peaches or strawberries or boarding pasture for animals. And the taxes on that land for the last number of years has been $280. $280 for 300 acres. Okay. Now, when you sell that property, if the new buyer don't want to transfer it, which is free, and you can continue the program, then the government can go back and collect up to 3 years of the taxes that were deferred. And, you know, on a larger piece like we're talking about, you know, that could be $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 of back taxes that they'll collect. And the only thing they have to do is sign a piece of paper transferring it from me to you. So we encourage people to do that. But, you know, if you sit there and you run the numbers of $3,500, it's probably worth, if I put it on the market today, I'd say about $5,000 an acre. That's $1.5 million. And if you run the numbers, that's a good solid 6% of appreciation per year, plus the timber income and the low taxes. What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah, that's a great deal, and thank God for stepped up basis when that property got transferred. So if you ever do sell it, you're not paying 100% of it in capital gain.
That's right. That's why you need to pay your real estate agent more, because I always tell them, they say, what are you charging for land? And I'll give them my figure, our company policy, because, you know, we can't discuss this on the radio specifically. I definitely can't talk about it in class. But, you know, so I'll leave it at that. But I always say, well, pay me a little bit more, because you either pay me or you pay Uncle Sam. And I get right. some people that will actually pay me more, because, you know, that's the difference. You're either going to take it off, because it's a direct write-off. It comes off the top, your any of your expenses. You know, so, you know, give me a bigger number. But another thing in your dissertation here is freedom to do what you want to do. Teresa, does Joe let you do what you want to do?
Oh, I do what I want to do.
Oh, okay. Helping Joe's her husband.
I let Joe do what he wants to do.
Okay, well, that's a good relationship. Help connecting your family to what is important in life. And I can attest to that with the generations of my mother's family. Slower pace of life. And that's true, too. The quality of life we have is, you get in these rural areas, we got four stoplights in our little town of 1,280 people, and I yell at all four of them. In fact, there's one I'm going to try to take down.
Nice. Well, I'm similar. I live in a county with only 10,000 people, fewer than 10,000, actually.
Really?
On my side of the river, I live on the east side of the Cahaba River. We only have about 1,200 people, so
wow.
not very many people in my county at all. So I can totally appreciate being in a rural setting like that.
Absolutely. And there's plenty of land for sale in these areas, so make sure you get in touch with Jonathan if you're looking for Alabama and Mississippi. And you guys cover some other states too, don't you?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we focus on a wide range of stuff.
Yeah. You go anywhere, right? Just like me. If not, you know.
Yeah, as long as it makes sense, if it'll pay the gas bill, we can do that.
You got it. Well, call me or Teresa, and then we'll refer it to Jonathan, get a referral fee.
That's it.
And you can do the same back this way.
No,
listen, every time I get, and it happens over the, I've sold stuff, well, referred stuff out west, Wyoming. I did one in California. I did one in Washington State years ago. People that's here inherit stuff, and then they don't want it, and they say, I want to sell it. Can you sell it for me? And I said, well, I'm not licensed in that state. But what the first thing I do is I go to the RLI, www.rliland.com website, and that has all of our 1,300 plus minus members. And it also earmarks the ALCs. I always try to find an ALC, and I'll call them up. And I know most of you guys out there, we're like one big happy family. And say, hey, I've got a client that's got 400 acres in Alabama, you know. Would you like to take it and pay me a referral fee? So, I always go to my RLI buddies first. In fact, just about 100% of the time, I can hook them up.
I love being connected through the Realtors Land Institute.
Slower pace of life? Well, that depends. If you got a chicken house or a dairy farm, it might not be a slow pace. But you do sleep well at night. Satisfactory improving and managing a piece of land. And that is rewarding. God gave us this gift. And to get out there and work the land, I mean, there's nothing like it. And, of course, in Georgia.
No, I can solve all the world's problems in the seat of a tractor or on a zero-turn mower.
That's what I love mowing my grass. Sometimes I mow it when it doesn't even need mowing because I love my mower. But, of course, enjoyment of nature and God's creation. I mean, you know, my office, Teresa's office, is out in the woods or out in the farm. And, you know, and it's just rain, sleet, shine, or snow. I always go. Don't matter. Got my four-wheel Jeep, and off we go, places that nobody would go. But there's just nothing like it. It's so rewarding, and I love helping people like you do, Jonathan and Teresa. And it's so rewarding. I don't care about the money. You know, I work for the big upstairs. I just love to see people happy and things work out.
Well, I tell people that being a land broker is a great job, and occasionally you get paid to do it.
Well, I hadn't worked in 30 years, so people say, go to work today. I said, hell, I ain't worked in 30 years. I mean, I love what I do. Yeah. It's not work. But anyway, I'm excited about this new program you got. You know, we'll try to keep promoting that for you, okay?
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Also, you got something else, too, called the it's an e-book. It's called The Basics of Buying Land. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so through the years, I've been a land broker for about a dozen years, and you get a lot of the same questions, people buying rural property. So I just put together a little 24-page book. It's free on my website at jonathangood.com. And it just walks you through the whole process of how to buy a piece of rural land. That's different than most people when they're buying a piece of residential property. And so there, I've got things in there like flow charts about how the process should go, how to deal with land lenders, should you buy title insurance, do you need a survey, understanding some of the basic concepts of owning timberland, what ages in our area would they need thinnings and cuttings and those sorts of things. So just try to put together, it's, you know, there's no way to be comprehensive, to provide a comprehensive resource about all the topics related to land, but we just try to hit the high points, and I make that a free download for anybody on my website.
I love it. You know, speaking about timber, we represent Schumacher Homes. They're in about 12 states, I think. They're custom home builders, but they don't furnish land. They don't go out and build subdivisions.
Okay.
And my daughter was involved with some friends that was going to get a Schumacher home, and they didn't have any land, and we couldn't find anything. And I said, well, there's one down the road down there for sale by owners. Already got a well and septic for a 4-bedroom installed, which is unusual. And, of course, she hooked it up. And so she called Schumacher's office over in Greensboro, and she said, you know, we're a land real estate firm. And they said, really? Said, tell us what you do. And she told them, and they said, would you guys come over here? Said, we have so much problems with realtors that don't have no idea how to sell land. Well, how would they know, Jonathan? There's no land education. So,
right.
You know, they don't understand the, out in the county, the perks and the old surveys and the easements. Like there's 11 different types of easements and, you know, and financing. You know, of course, you guys are sponsored by Farm Credit. That is the best organization out there. They're backed by Farmer Mac, started in 1916, I think, by the federal government because oil was discovered. Now you had equipment, you had fertilizers. That farm really paid time. You know, they decided anything over 5 acres is a non-conforming loan because they don't like to put their risk out there. There's more risk in people. If you own a home and you own some land down the road and you can only make one mortgage payment, you're probably going to make it where your tail sleeps. So statistically,
right.
There's more, you know, so thank God for Farm Credit. But this client was buying 50 acres and they were getting a Schumacher home. And as we're getting down to the end of it, they were $12,000 short in their cash of being able to consummate the deal. So the land they were buying had been timbered back in the 80s and replanted in loblolly pines, not all of it. But I called up one of my timber guys and I said, would you come over and buy like $15,000 worth of this timber? You know, my clients need 12, but I want to give them a little cushion there. And dadgum, if he didn't do it, we did a timber deed and they got to close the deal. So we used the timber, you know, and I bought and sold land. I've done over 60 rural subdivisions and I've bought land in the past where the timber actually paid for the dadgum land. And they turned around and resold it, repackaged it. But
hey, if you ever get any more of those, Lou, just add me to the list of people that want you to let them know about that.
Oh, absolutely. You'll be the first one I call, John.
That's exactly what I tell everybody that says that to me.
Well, you know, you find a bird nest on the ground once in a while. There was two old ladies that lived outside of Winston-Salem, and they're building an outer beltway. They started buying 20 years ago. They're just starting on part of it now, and it takes forever. But they had this pile of cash and no heirs, and their next-door neighbor, who's my age now, was a commodities broker, and they raised him in church from the time, changed his diapers, and he had taken care of them all these years with their finances and, you know, so on. And he called me up, and he said, I'm power of attorney for these two ladies. One was 100, and the other was 102.
Oh,
and,
wow.
We need to do a 1031 on this stuff, and I need to buy some land. I think that's the best place to put their money. So I sold them a 103-acre tract that had been timbered, so they got a really good price on it, been replanted, long-term investment. And then I sold one here in our area that was just a shy of 50 acres with a lot of road frontage, but a lot of topography. It's like the side of a little mountain. And so I made a small subdivision. We could do up to 5 lots of an acre or more. So I used the road frontage and did a subdivision. And then I did, as long as we stay 10 acres or more in our area, we don't have to go to the government. Don't have to have public hearings. Have to go to the planning board. You have to pave roads. And I'm called a dirt road developer historically. And I've, like I said, I've done over 60 of these. But anyway, I got down, and it was towards the end of the year, and he called me up, and he says, hey, the accountant just called me, and They're both in rest homes, and one of them is like $6,000 a month, and the other one's like $8,000 a month to wipe the tails. And we need to put some more money back in the account. And he called me up. He says, we need to sell something quick. And so I always had, you know, the one or two or three people said, if you find a good deal, you know, call me. Well, I'd already run the numbers for what I could buy it for, cut the timber on it, and it had 100-year growth timber. It's like forgotten about.
Oh, wow.
Had over 587,000 board feet on 30 acres. 17 acres was pine. 40% of it was veneer. It brought, I got paid $3,200 an acre for it, and you know it probably brought about $7,000 an acre.
But, oh, wow.
But I wrote a contract, didn't even put any earnest money down, went to the bank. The bank at that time had loaned up to 60% of what the tax value was, so I had $40,000 on the table. I had my forester come over and do a cruise on it and put it in a seal bid auction, and he said, you know, you got at least $100,000 worth of timber on this property. So I was paying $140 for it. And I went to the neighbors, and I said, I'm getting ready to buy this land and cut the timber off of it. I'll sell you whatever you want for $1,800 an acre. So I did two deals to liquidate it. And I went to closing. There was the timber deed with the 100. Well, the guy that offered me $80,000, put him in a seal bid auction, paid me $128,742.53. So,
wow.
You know, it's crazy how you know how to play the game. I had the $40,000 on the table, plus I had the contracts for flipping the land, and I figured it up. I walked out of closing with over $60,000, and I never pulled a dollar out of my pocket, just pushing
paper.
That's
pretty strong, Lou.
Don't see many of those. That was a real, that was a gold bird nest on the ground.
Yeah, no doubt.
With not a whole lot of time left, but we got a little bit. Tell us about the self-direct and your experience with that, because I really love that. I wish more people would jump on the wagon with that.
Well, I've helped clients do it in the past. It's something that, you know, we've learned about in our land education. But I had the opportunity to find a property a few months ago. I actually found a property that was listed by one of my competitors on the Cahaba River, which is a really nice, all free flowing river in the state of Alabama. My wife grew up around it. And so we always knew if a property came available, we would want it. I had a little money sitting in an IRA, and this little 12-acre property became available, and so I went the day that I saw it on Facebook, the first day that it was advertised. I went and looked at it, made a full price offer, and asked for about 14 days to do the due diligence, but I went ahead and set up the IRA, and in the contract, I made it known from the start that I'd be purchasing with an individual retirement account. And, man, it went as smoothly as it could go because those funds were already sitting there. It took the IRA company, the company that holds it, about, you know, 10 days once they got title work back to review to be able to go ahead and move forward with the purchase. And, you know, it's a property that we're holding for investment. I expect sometime when my kids get a little older that we'll be able to turn around and sell that place. And so, It's a great way to make an investment. You know, I closed on that property in March. The stock market had gone from 30,000 to 20,000, and I didn't feel comfortable putting my money in the market at that point. I'd much rather put it in something that I understand a whole lot more, and that's a small piece of rural acreage on a river where there's potential to make some money when I get ready to turn around and sell it. So, you know, that was my experience. It doesn't work in every situation. It's not going to work if you want to build your house on a piece of property. But if you want to hold a piece of property for investment, it can be a great way to do it.
Yeah, one of our first shows, you can go back on our website, but we had a guy in from, I think it was Colorado, and they are one of the companies. There's not that many companies that do the self-direct. So you can Google it, or you can go to our website, www.letstalkland.net. It's one of the earlier shows, 10 or 15, can't remember. But you have to have a manager. It's almost like a 1031. Right. You have to have someone managing your property, and then you can't have your brother. There's a lot of whistles and bells, so it's not just like you just go do it. There's some stuff you need to bone up on and see if you qualify. But
you want your manager to help give you some guidance on what you're doing and those sorts of things. But it's a good way to, if you understand real estate, it is a good way to, as a vehicle to invest in real estate.
Absolutely. What else we want to talk about? We got a couple minutes left that we haven't touched today.
Lou, I'm encouraged. There was a recent article, the land sale sponsored a question from landthink.com, and it was asking people what the rest of the year is going to look like, and they polled people.
I saw that.
And, you know, I'm very optimistic about what the rest of 2020 is going to look like.
Me too.
I think there are a lot of good opportunities ahead in the land market. There may be some dips. I know every real estate market varies. But I'm optimistic that rural land is going to be a very appealing product to people.
Well, Jonathan, with interest rates where they are right now, I mean, if you ever thought about, and that self-directs a thing to do now, if you work for a company, you've got this pile of money pulled up in an IRA or a Kehoe or some of the qualified plans, you know, and you've been wanting to invest in some land, go check it out. We gave you a couple sources. Jonathan can help you out too. You'll have his contact information. You know, we love helping people. We don't have to do business with you. I don't charge for everything I do, but we get all, you know, I told somebody years ago, I was down at the beach and it was a Friday afternoon and I broke a tooth. And I wasn't a realtor at the time. And for some reason, I stopped by this real estate office. And not only did they get me an appointment, the guy, I walked in the door, he set me in the chair. I said, you know, I don't have enough money to pay you right now. He said, don't worry about it. Just write me a check. I said, I've got a deposit Monday. He said, just write me the check. Ain't no problem. But I always tell people, if you need help, if you ever need help and you're out and about, go to a real estate office. We're the most wonderful people, and we'll help anybody anytime. Isn't that true? I mean, it's an incredible vocation.
I had somebody call me last night wanting to know a good primary care physician. I gave him an entire list and rundown on everybody.
Teresa, you're not an expert in that, primary
care.
Well,
I worked at the hospital for 10 years.
Oh, well, that's
so
true.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they didn't call you as a realtor. They call you as a hospital.
Well, I sold them their house.
Oh, well, okay. But... No, we've got an incredible profession that we're in, and the Realtors Land Institute, there's no better folks, the landmen and landladies out there. I haven't met a bad, you know, it's like a family reunion. I haven't missed, well, when the economy was bad, I missed a couple of the conferences, but I've been to about 15 of them, and I was so disappointed. I wanted to go to the Alamo and had my tickets, which I won't get reimbursed for, and which is fine. But, you know, it's just when we get together once a year, there's nothing like it, is it, Jonathan?
No, I really enjoy it, and it is kind of like a homecoming. All the people that you see online and communicate with through social media through the course of the year, you get to go and meet face-to-face, and I really do. By and large, I think it's a great group. I've been a member for, you know, 10 years or more, and I love it. I really do. I currently serve on the ALC review committee, so if you're sending in applications for your accredited land consultant designation, odds are good, you know, I'll get to take a peek at it, and I really enjoy that. That's a great way to stay connected to who's coming into the group.
Yeah, and I'm on the education committee, so that's quite a group too, so we're the ones responsible for education, and it's quite a diversified group, and we always have some really challenging conversations. And another thing I've been a member of, too, in North Carolina, we have two forms committees. We have a residential forms committee, and then we have a commercial forms committee. And I brought, years ago, I'm the one that got it. Ethics has never been there. I'm the one that started that movement, and I'll take credit for it. But I also realized, do you guys have a land disclosure form down there, Alabama?
We don't. We're one of a few non-disclosure states.
Well, back in 2006, there were only five states. And so one of my friends that was very involved at the State Association for different things, he put me in touch with Garth Dunkel, who's our guest a couple weeks ago, who's an attorney for 26 years. He's been in charge of our commercial forms committee. And I got involved and brought those forms plus mine and a couple others. And we have a land information worksheet. In North Carolina, we have to have a general statute definition of whatever that form is to. And you know that the National Association of Realtors, they have a definition for residential, they have a definition for commercial, but we don't have a definition for land. So I'm working on that with Aubrey to see if we can't start a movement, because we need a general statute. Otherwise, it's non-required form. But with our residential form, we have 28 issues and observations. With the land form, we have 73.
Wow.
And Teresa, when she was doing her or broker's class, they throw a slide up that says, land is the most complicated of all real estate transactions. And then you ask the instructor why, and they have no way. So I've offered the commission to come in and write a small course and train the, those that teach that class. So at least they can, you know, well, there's 11 different types of easements, and you know, but here we are. All right, you need to get Rodney. But so with just a few minutes left here, go ahead and give us your information, how to get in touch with you, Jonathan. And any last thing, last thought you want to leave people with, definitely your website.
Well, I just appreciate you being on, allowing me to be on today, and I appreciate your listeners putting up with this Alabama accent. They can find all of my information at jonathangood.com, Jonathan, G-O-O-D-E.com. And that's, you can get the basics of land, basics of buying land, free download, a lot of stuff. So, again, Lou, I sure appreciate you having me on today.
Oh, you've been a great guest.
Anything I can do to be helpful, y'all just let me know.
Same to you, buddy. So what's your website and what's your email address?
JonathanGood.com and then Jonathan at SELandGroup.com or Jonathan Good, Southeastern Land Group on Facebook. I've got a pretty big Facebook page where I try to post a lot of stuff, a lot of helpful information and resources. So, you know, I try to be easy to get in touch with.
Perfect. You've been a great guest today. Thank you for joining us today. Let us know how you liked the show. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to suggest, we'd appreciate them. All questions are welcome, and all of our guests may be emailed with your questions or comments as well. The show is for the public and, most importantly, for real estate agents who do not have a source for land education. All of our shows after this morning's broadcast will be downloaded next week on the master website, which is www.letstalkland.net. Also on Podify, on Podbean, and Spotify. Teresa, how do they get in touch with you?
Give me a call or text me at 336-209-2937.
And what's your email address?
They'll know. I better spell it. T-E-R-E-S-A, teresa.mylandpro@gmail.com. Nobody
right.
spells my name right.
I got you. Hey, our sponsor is LandHub.com. Are you looking to buy or sell land? LandHub.com. Previews thousands of properties nationwide. That's LandHub.com. Make sure you check them out. Even for sale by owners. View thousands of properties for sale. Rodney, how they get in touch with us here? Wait a minute, let me do mine.
Yeah, you got to do yours first.
I
got
to do mine. I didn't write it on my
script.
Oh,
my gosh. You know, you want the old script?
Yeah, give me the old script.
Okay.
You can contact me at Lou, L-O-U, at mylandpro.com. My phone number is 336-669-1405. Now, Rodney.
Yes, they can go to our website, go to WKTE1090.com, and also they can download the Simple Radio app and hear us anywhere in the world.
Universe,
too.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
That's right, everywhere.
So if you want to listen to this show on every Saturday morning from 9 to 10, you can
download the Simple Radio.
Right? And also we play beach music and oldies, but we only play what?
Happy music.
We only play happy music.
We get you in a good mood.
You got
with
it.
All that's going on in the
you
world.
You got it. So we won some awards. Not
yep.
too long.
5 years in a row of being the top radio station in the East Coast.
The whole East Coast. Like from Maine to Miami.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Georgia, yeah. Alabama.
And you got a nice award.
Yeah, the Reader's Choice Award last year, 2019, for being the Announcer of the Year.
Announcer, wow. Wonder why.
I don't know. You're still trying to figure that one out.
I don't know. God, you got me calling. Hey, Teresa, we'll see you guys next week.
All right.